Take your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Hebrews, chapter 10 this morning. We're going to read verses 8 through 14 in Hebrews, chapter 10. I'll read aloud as you read silently from our passage in Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 8 through 14. Hebrews chapter 10 this morning. Please stand to your feet as you're finding your place in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 8 through 14, and I'm beginning at verse 8. Above, when he said, "Sacrifice and offering and burnt offerings and offering for sin thou wouldest not, neither hadst pleasure therein, which are offered by the law," then said he, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this valuable, important, doctrinally and passage this morning. Thank you for Christ. As Pastor said, or as Brother McBride said this morning as he prayed, the greatest memorial of all goes to Jesus Christ. Thank you for him. Thank you for allowing us to receive him and have eternal life. Now, Father, I pray this morning as our pastor comes and preaches from this text, you would empower him. Use him to help us today. Let us hear, Father, what we should hear and act upon and do what we should do. And Father, if there's one in this room that does not know that Jesus, that Christ, I pray before they leave this room today, they would receive him and accept him as their Savior. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated this morning, I need you now to check your cell phone and make sure it is turned off or to vibrate. Do not assume that it is. Please just go ahead and make sure that it isn't going to go off during the service. Would you please? If it goes off during the service, we always attach special warnings to those who want to make believers out of us. We will make a believer out of you. If your cell phone goes off in the service and we hear it, an usher will come down, step over the people next to you, grab you by the shirt or garment, and drag you into the foyer and throw you in the parking lot. So, we just want you to know in advance, it's not our fault. You can't sue us. We gave you a disclaimer. All right? So help us with this, please. We'd appreciate that. That probably won't happen, but it just might. You never know. This is a crazy church. This is Memorial Day weekend. Do you know what Memorial Day is for? 1.3 million Americans have paid the ultimate price and made the ultimate sacrifice for our liberties and our freedoms. They gave their life in battle. They gave their life in honor and service of their country. Memorial Day is to remember that. Memorial Day is a time for America to stop and thank God and think that somebody loved not their lives unto the death. 1.3 million Americans. 1.5 million Americans have been wounded in battle or in service to their country. So you put those figures together, you have almost 3 million Americans in the history of our short history of this great republic who have paid a price, sacrificed for liberties and freedoms that you and I will enjoy. Most Americans will take it as a 3-day weekend. It'll take it as the launching pad for the summer vacation. After Memorial Day, everybody's rates go up on everything because it's past Memorial Day. And most will take it just as another three-day weekend, and Monday comes around and they'll barbecue and do all those kind of things. Nothing wrong with anything like that. But I don't want us to do that. I don't want us to just miss the whole purpose of a Memorial Day and not remember there is a reason that we need to remember. America has short-term memory, very short-term memory about things. But you and I are going to have some character, and sometime tomorrow, on the day off that many of us will have, sometime in that day tomorrow, you put your flag out, and then you pause and thank God for freedoms and liberties that people have paid for, and by the way, continue to this day to pay for. So we always, on Memorial Day weekend, special weekends like this, we always recognize those who have served their country in the military. So if you have done so, man or woman, if you have done so and served your country by serving in the military or do now serve in the military, would you stand for just a moment, please? We have veterans from World War II, from Korea, from Vietnam, from Desert Storm, from different conflicts. I'm also a Vietnam-era veteran myself. And you know, you think about it, ladies and gentlemen, because these dear people decided they would give up a certain amount of time of their life in order for you and I to enjoy freedoms, it should be remembered. It should mean something to us more than just a day off. And I hope that you and I will make sure that we take that time tomorrow to honor that. But we do honor you today and thank you for serving your country. Give them a hand this morning, please. So the subject is, what is a real sacrifice then? The book of Hebrews is about Jesus, the Lamb of God, the greatest of all sacrifices. As our brother prayed this morning and said, the greatest and the one who deserves the greatest memorial is the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you ever think about this? Do you ever think about the fact that we as Christians have the opportunity to understand what a great sacrifice is as citizens and as Christians? We understand it as citizens. We understand today that somebody gave and paid a price for us to have liberties and freedoms. We also know as Christians that someone is the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 12 says, this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins, Jesus, paid the ultimate price for our freedoms and liberties. For what we enjoy is eternal life. And so we have the double opportunity, as it were, to be a remembering Christian, a Christian who is reminded about the liberties and the freedoms that we do enjoy. And all of this comes at a sacrifice. We hear the statement made, but I wonder if we understand the weight of this statement. Freedom is not free. It's incredible. People bandy it about and say, but I live in a free nation. I have the right to do whatever I want. In reality, that is not what we have. We do not have the right to do whatever we want. That's anarchy. That's not freedom. We have the right to do what's best for the nation in which we live. Just this week in the country of Syria, and we were there just this last October in Damascus in Syria, right before that country erupted into the violence that it's experiencing today. Just this week, they slaughtered 100 people in one small city, 36 of them children, showed their bodies wrapped up in little cloths, lying there stacked like cords of wood or pieces of wood lying on a floor somewhere. Now, there'll probably be no justice for those children or those dear people who lost their lives. And we think about the fact that here in America, our biggest problem is whether or not we get through the red light before the camera goes off and gives us a ticket. Our biggest battle and issue that we face is whether or not we're for a particular proposition or against a particular proposition. And I don't think we fully understand the fact that our freedoms, our liberties come at a sacrifice. That's what red stripes in the flag indicate. They remind us that blood was shed so freedoms could be purchased. That means sacrifice had to be made. That means there are people today walking the streets of America, missing limbs and missing parts of their body, their eyesight. Their health is forever altered because they sacrificed in order to purchase liberties and freedoms that others would enjoy. Freedom always comes at a sacrifice. Something that is worthwhile always has a price, and there is always a sacrifice necessary in order to obtain that which is worthwhile. Memorial Day is a time to remember somebody cared enough for you and I to have what we have today in this great republic of the United States of America. Do we understand what a real sacrifice is? The word sacrifice in the Bible means, it means to slay or to kill with the purpose of doing something in a cause, for a cause. It isn't just killing something. It isn't just sacrificing or offering something. It's offering something with a purpose or an intent. There's a cause or a reason for it. So then there is a sacrifice for to supply or to meet that cause or reason. You know what a real sacrifice is? It's paying the ultimate price. For some, it cost them their lives. For some, it cost them their possessions. I do not know if you've ever been to Washington, D.C. or not. There's a lot goes on there that's wicked, ungodly, and filthy. That's just Congress. But the truth is, there are things that happen there, and there are things in Washington, D.C. that you should see. You ought to go there. That's the kind of the seat of things for America, Philadelphia and Washington, D.C. But in Washington, D.C., in the Hall of Records, am I saying that right, Brother Myers? The Hall of Records, where the Constitution is, the original copy of the Constitution, which our politicians should be over there reading it a little more often, I think, than they are. But that is the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution of the United States of America, a copy of the Magna Carta, has nothing to do with America, just sort of a forerunner of our Constitution, as it were. But in the Hall of Records, it's a huge building that contains those three simple documents. Other things, but just those for sake of discussion this morning. But what's interesting there is a mural that surrounds this rotunda, this rounded building. And in this mural, it's divided into two pictures, as it were. On this side, it shows a bunch of Americans in that era, the 1700s in America. It shows them in strength and health and the vigor of their health and life. On this other side of the mural, it shows those very same people, those who signed the, by the way, it's a picture of those who signed the Declaration of Independence. The painting is. And on the other side of this painting, as it were, the mural as it goes across this direction, it shows those same people what they looked like after the War of Independence and what they looked like after they paid the ultimate price, many of them costing everything that they owned, costing all their possessions. Many of them, it showed them, in one picture, it shows them in good health. The next one, the painting over here, it shows them missing limbs. They fought in the war themselves. It shows the price that they paid for the document that we read. Because you see, ladies and gentlemen, a sacrifice, if we understand it in its purity, is paying the ultimate price. It means there's a cost, and someone pays the cost. That's what is a sacrifice. May I say this to you this morning? Listen to me. Do you understand today, ladies and gentlemen, that anything that is worth having is going to require sacrifice to obtain it? Example, America is in serious financial trouble today. What is happening in Europe and Greece and these other countries is coming to the shores of America. It's here now. We just keep printing money and throwing trouble at it to try and make it go away. But eventually something is going to have to be done. America is bankrupt. It's just a matter of when do we declare it and step up to what we do. But I tell you how you're going to fix that. We're going to have to sacrifice to do that. Because anything that's worth having requires sacrifice. There's a price that always has to be paid. And it is always a great price as Americans today. And if I may belabor the point again, as Americans, we enjoy liberties and freedoms because 1.3 million people left home and did not come back. They paid the ultimate price. That was a sacrifice on their part. Those 1.5 million who were wounded in battle, in conflict, etc., they live with that price in their day-to-day lives because they were willing to make a sacrifice. The ultimate price paid is the sacrifice of the gift of life that is given us. We enjoy that life today. I've been to some places in this world. God has blessed and allowed me to go to 6 continents and visit many places in this world today. It's true, there is no place like America. And I'm talking not just third world countries. I'm talking nations that are quote-unquote developed nations. There is no nation like America. There is no country like this country. There are no freedoms like we enjoy. Even in so-called free nations that I have been before, there's no nation like America. That isn't just because there's a document somewhere in the Hall of Records in Washington, D.C. It's because someone was willing to die to ensure that we would continue to have that. They paid the ultimate price. That is a true sacrifice. And we're given the gift of life because of this. Oh, by the way, Do you understand this morning in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 12? Would you look at that passage again just very quickly, please? It says, but this man, that's verse 10 there, Jesus Christ. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And if you're like me and one of those heathens who writes in your Bible, would you underline that, please? One sacrifice for sins forever. Set down on the right hand of God. One sacrifice for sins forever. There is no sacrifice to be attached to what Jesus did when he paid for our salvation. That's one sacrifice. There isn't another one to come along. That's why, by the way, you are saved by trusting Christ's payment and his payment alone. That is what saves you. Because that was one payment made, and it covered all the forgiveness anyone would ever need. It covered all the salvation anyone would ever need. It covered all the security that anyone would ever need. You don't get saved and then undo the work you didn't deserve. Jesus paid it all on the cross, one sacrifice for sins, and his gift was eternal life to us, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's why we as Christians, we have this incredible opportunity for a double vignette of what this thing of sacrifice really means. Because as citizens, we enjoy freedoms paid for by godly people who gave their lives for us. And as Christians, we enjoy eternal life because Jesus made one payment for our sins forever. And my friend, that's why when you get saved, you accepted Christ as Savior. God gives you at that moment, he gives you eternal life. Not temporary life, eternal life. Not life that you hold on to and then you can turn loose of because you sin. It's salvation. It's eternal life once for all forever. You go through Hebrews 9, 10, and 11, you'll see that statement repeated over and over again where he reminds us that it is a once for all payment because Jesus paid the ultimate price. Now, wait a minute though. What does that mean to you as a child of God? Is it an amening point as a Christian in church? Or do you have a memorial day every day in your life when you open your Bibles and you read it and you look up to your God and you call his name? And you realize because Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father, you have access to him. And that which you did not deserve, Christ gave you as a free gift because he paid the price. Doesn't it make a difference in how we live our life? Doesn't it make a difference in our... I don't care how difficult your problems are this morning, how deep your valleys and how dark the midnights of your struggles, I assure you this morning you have a reason to know and rejoice that God loves you enough to give you eternal life. Once for all forever, the Bible says. As Christians, we enjoy eternal life because Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice. A real sacrifice. A real sacrifice is paying a debt. All that is to be had in life comes at a price, and those who sacrifice themselves, they're paying a debt. It started in America back when our forefathers and mothers realized that taxation without representation was unfair and unjust. I wonder what they would look at us today and think and see. I wonder if they would look ahead in America at 2012 and say, is this what we fought and died for? Beloved nation, wonderful nation, but a nation in serious trouble in its thinking and its acting. Not only morally, but just economically, the sense in America seems to be completely gone now, especially among leaders who don't seem to understand you can't keep throwing money at problems that have billions already thrown at them and nothing is resolved. Something else has to be done. But those forefathers and mothers have started this country because they were willing to fight for the liberties and freedoms. The next generation had to fight their set of battles. Do you know why? Because they had a debt to the previous generation. And then the next generation, and the next generation. Well, Pastor Johnson, we should have peace so everybody in the world gets along. I wish it were so. But that's only on Leave It to Beaver and TV Land. The world today is not that world. Today it is a world where we have to have superior force to protect our freedoms and our liberties. And those today, we have folks today with loved ones on the battlefield in Afghanistan. They're there today. Whether you agree with wars or not, ladies and gentlemen, let's not discuss the issue of whether or not wars are just or unjust. I can assure you there are just wars. But I can also assure you this. I like what I saw on a bumper sticker one day. It said, if you don't want to stand behind our troops, please stand in front of them. I can assure you of this morning, ladies and gentlemen. Those people are paying a debt to all the previous generations who, when their time came, they served their country and did what they were supposed to do, and so they owe a debt because of that. That's a sacrifice. That's saying, you know what, there's a debt that's been paid, passed to me as freedom. Now it's my turn to pay the debt because of what's been done for me in the past. That's sacrifice. It's the only time when the Christian and the citizen differ in their understanding because, see, Jesus didn't pay a debt he owed. Jesus paid a debt we owed. We owed this debt to God because of our sin, and Jesus was willing to pay that debt for us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Imputed righteousness, imparted righteousness. Incredible when you stop to think that God would justify us as sinners because Jesus paid the debt in our place, but Jesus made that sacrifice. Jesus paid a debt He did not owe. Now one more time, please. Does that not make a difference in how you live and think? I remember my first trip to Washington, D.C. It was all I could do to keep from weeping at every place that we went. We went to the Smithsonian, the American history part of the Smithsonian. You walk in then, they don't have it that way now, I believe, but when you walked in then, they had the flag that flew over Fort McHenry in the War of 1812, where Francis Scott Key was in the harbor and wrote the national anthem. And they had that original flag, and it had the bomb holes in it, and it had the tears and the rips of all the years and things. And they were painstakingly restored. It's all done now. But I don't know why, but I walked in, I saw it. It had it laying out. It's a huge flag. And it was laying out there, and they had people laying on metal racks, on tracks, carrying over the top of the flag so they didn't touch it, sewing it and repairing it, and then photographing each inch of it to restore that flag completely. But when I walked up and I saw it, I just began to weep. I thought about my country. And I thought about what America is and what it means. I was fortunately raised for a portion of my life by my grandparents who instilled a real sense of patriotism in me and a love for this country. But you know something, ladies and gentlemen, the truth is these people, they paid a debt. They realized that they had something that they owed to the people who went on before them. Jesus Christ paid a debt for our sins when He died on the cross for us. Do you realize then that that means it's been passed to us? We don't have to pay for salvation. It's paid for. It's a free gift, freely purchased, freely given, freely received. But then yet, there's a sense of debt given to us that we owe Jesus something for what He's done for us. No, I don't have to earn eternal life. I don't have to earn His favor. But when the Bible says, thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift, I can't stop but thinking that how much I owe Him for this amazing gift of eternal life. And then when it comes my time to do what God wants me to do, some would call it sacrifice. Quite frankly, I call it paying a debt. I try whenever I'm out somewhere, I try to, and I'm in a place, an eating restaurant or something, and I see young men or women in uniform, I try to always buy them their meal. I was in an airport in Dallas, Texas, flying through there and sitting in a restaurant. I saw a young couple sitting there, a young man in uniform and with his young wife with him. I paid for their meal and sent them just a note just saying, from an American, God bless you and thank you for serving your country. I was getting ready to leave, and then about 25 GIs walked in uniform. I said, sorry, fellas, I gave it the office. And I went out. I said, thank you for your service. Standing in line to the luggage, getting the luggage, young man in uniform there. I said, where are you going, son? And he told me, and I said, hey, I appreciate your service for your country. I feel like I owe these people something because of what a real sacrifice is. You know what a real sacrifice is? It's purchasing something for the future. Those people who serve their country did so because others have served before, served for also another reason. They looked ahead. They looked ahead to the fact that there would be others who would come after them. And because others would come after them, they would need to have something that they got to enjoy in their lives. I know we decry all that kind of stuff when the older generation says, well, I remember the good old days. May I say this to our older generation today? You guys are 50 and up. Don't stop talking about the good old days, would you please? Because I think somehow or another, no one really believes there was actually an America like that. And you younger folks, don't say, oh, brother, here they go. They're going to talk about the days when gas was 18 cents a gallon and we could drive and all that kind of stuff. And I remember when gas was 18 cents a gallon. That's sad. Sad. You could drive around all night long in a buck's worth of gas. Now you can't even get the nozzle, the number to move for a dollar. See, I live in America someone else paid for. That's why it's not right just to show up and assume the rights of a citizen. You just show up and I get to, everybody else gets. People who paid for that should be able to give that to folks. I'm not for that. I'm not for people just coming to America to get what America has for them. That's not the point. To come and participate in America, I'm for that. I'm for people participating, being a part of this country. I'm for all of that. But I'm not for America giving things away to people just because they show up. That's messed up. And it's messing us up worse than you could possibly imagine. But see, my people were the original Americans. Native Americans. Cherokee. It's my people. Now, by the way, and they took our land away from us. But now we're taking it back one casino at a time. Which is not promoting casinos, okay? Please stay with me on this. No, but I'm sorry. Gold Star moms and dads and Blue Star moms and dads and families, those folks looked ahead and said, you know what, there is America worth living for and there is an America worth dying for. And they purchased something for the future. Now that's a sacrifice. Imagine the vision of that. To lay down your life on the beaches of Normandy, to lay down your life in the jungles of Tet Offensive in 68 in Vietnam, to lay down your life like that, to freeze to death as so many soldiers did during the Korean War, to lay down your life on the dusty sands of Iraq or Afghanistan, to give your life for those things is to look ahead and say, there's something I want to give and provide for somebody else. Now that's a sacrifice. With a little bit more of a long-range vision to be able to look ahead and say, there's something worth purchasing and giving to someone else. You see, Jesus saw you when he died on the cross. The old song is, when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. I don't know if you can be theologically accurate enough to say he saw each and every individual soul, but I know this, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus looked ahead enough to be willing to pay the price for people who were yet born, who were yet to draw a breath, who had yet sinned, but would yet still need salvation. He saw that and was willing to make that price too. See, that's the sacrifice of once for all, forever. When we get to heaven, God is not going to change his mind about how people get into heaven. He's not going to line someone up and say, oh, well, you are of a different religion and we'll let you in anyway. No, he's not. It's once for all, forever. You come to God through Christ or you don't go. It's salvation through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, and that's all, or you do not go to heaven, period. That's salvation. And when he made that price and paid the price and cried, it is finished, and dismissed his spirit, he made that one great payment for all, forever. And you know something, friend? He was thinking about you and me one day. He was thinking about Mike Johnson, 9-year-old boy in American Baptist Church in Antioch, California, the day I would step out of my pew and say, yes, I will receive Christ as my personal Savior. He knew that day would come, and that day came, and I accepted Christ as my Savior. But he paid for it in advance. You know, when you stop to think about it, they love you enough to think about that. You folks that served in the military, you remember those days away from home? Remember eating in the chow hall? Remember when breakfast tastes like lunch and lunch tastes like dinner? Even though it looked different. Remember cold winters? Remember hot summers? Remember Christmases where you sit in the barracks when they give you these little horrible looking Christmas trees? You try to decorate them up and do the best you can to make Christmas out of that. I spent a Christmas in the Arctic. Christmas Day, we hadn't seen the sun in months, and it was 50 below zero. And that was our Christmas Day. Remember those things? Do you remember, listen to me, do you remember how you were homesick and wish you could be at home? But in the back of your mind you thought, but my family's gathered together. And while I am here, they are there. And I miss them, but I'm glad they get to be where they are. Sacrifice. Listen now, sacrifice is purchasing something for the future. You have a Bible in your hand this morning. Someone paid for the privilege of you to have that Bible. And I don't mean purchase it and gave it to you. I mean someone gave their life so we would have a copy of it in our hands. You go to church this morning, ladies and gentlemen. I understand the church has been redefined and excused and basically dismissed from a lot of people's thinking. But trust me, the church of Jesus Christ that he started when he walked this earth has continued from that day until this day. And that church is a church whose history is washed in blood of people who love not their lives unto the death. You have a faith to believe because somebody loved not their life unto the death. You have, listen to me, you have today the gospel of Jesus Christ because somebody cared enough to tell somebody else that told someone else who eventually told you. And that's how you got the gospel. Because someone sacrificed and purchased something for the future. That's what Memorial Day is. It's a real sacrifice, you know. It's remembering somebody really did something for us. As a citizen, you're in a blessed nation. As a child of God, you're a blessed person today. Now then, what does that mean to your living? It better mean something more than just a thought. It means this, listen quickly. It means when your turn comes, it's time for you to sacrifice. Don't complain. Please don't complain. Well, America's having its problems. America has always had problems of things. But somehow I don't know that there's something about the people of this nation that seem to persevere and get through these things. I don't know about the recent issues. I'm not encouraged when I look at the White House or the governor's mansion, but I am encouraged when I get to spend some time with Americans. When your turn of sacrifice comes, you be willing to take your turn. Don't ever complain about debt that's owed. Don't ever complain about the future that has to be considered. Don't ever do that now. That's not a proper thing to do. When others have sacrificed so much, then it's our turn. We do the same then. Because it's wrong for us to enjoy the freedoms we have and not be willing to pay the price so others can have them passed on to them also. Did you see them this morning? Our little line of children who came out of the little Jules class. Sometime between Sunday school and the preaching service, kind of go over there and look in the foyer. You see about 25, 30 of those little guys coming out of that room over there, the little Jules classroom, holding onto a rope, walking down the hallway, over this end over here. We take them out back, let them play on the freeway, then we bring them back. They're going on to their little primary church service, these little boys and girls holding those little ropes. When it's your turn to sacrifice, you think about them, would you please? Would you think about the fact that they deserve an America? Would you think about this fact that as a child of God, they deserve to have a church too and a Bible and the things that, you see, there's a reason that we honor sacrifice because it reminds us when it's our turn, we should be able and willing to do the same. America is drowning in its own selfishness. I can't answer for all of America, but I can say this morning. Let's not let that be us. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.